welcome to Kiki and Kibitz.
Hey, hey, welcome to Kiki and Kibitz, Family Karma Edition. I'm Jordan, and I'm here with my co-host, Jen. Hey, hey, Jen.
Hey, Jordan. I was going to say, how are you? But we've learned not to say, how are you? So
yeah, we all know how we're doing. There's no difference week to week.
Yeah, so greetings.
Yeah.
Well, how are you feeling about family karma ending? That is something I can ask you.
I know. I have mixed feelings because especially with this pandemic, I really got drawn into the show.
Me too.
And it ended a little unexpectedly. I mean, in a good way, but
yeah.
I would have been cool with it going a few more episodes for sure.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm fingers crossed for the second season. Mm-hmm. I have all sorts of Bravo production tips. Yeah. Like, I want more Bally and O'Malley. Yeah. You know, I want inside the compound.
Yes.
There's so many people in there. You know, you've got Sean, you've got Dylan, you've got Nahali, you've got Neil. I want inside there. I want to see that life.
I know. See, they could have their own spinoff. It would be called It could be called
Patel, Family Compound.
Patel Rules.
Patel Rules.
It's like the Villa Rosa of the Miami Indian community.
I guess.
Okay, so I guess we should get started. Mm-hmm. The episode begins. I was really tripped out. Now we know why Vishal's family, especially Reshma, doesn't like Lopa.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you picked up on that too.
Yeah, you caught that as well.
Lopa's
demanding to know numbers on Vishal's exact income.
And I don't know if it's a Western thing, you know, but we don't talk about that.
No, yeah.
I don't know what my kids make. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I get like maybe it's her only daughter. I think she wants her to be taken care of, but no, I don't. Yeah. Like you said, we don't ask. Like when my sister got engaged, I didn't sit my brother-in-law down. Mm-hmm. And spread out, show me your statements. I mean, you always make an educated guess.
Yeah, and that's what I think. I think you can look at what's going on and, you know, what kind of car they drive. And, you know, I guess it's more difficult in the community if they all live with their parents until they get married. But still, you can get an idea and you know what his job is. So
yeah, she knows it's the family company and they seem to do well.
Was it that she was mad at Reshma because she thinks Reshma's a liar because she writes the checks and still wouldn't tell her?
I think Reshma was being polite and evasive by doing that. Yeah, exactly. That was a little much.
Yeah, she definitely did not seem excited about the whole prospect while Richard was getting henned up with her dog's name on her hand instead of Vishal's. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, Lopa looked like all she was doing was fake smile. Like she wouldn't even give much of a reply to stuff. She would just smile and be like, okay.
Do the head shrug.
Yeah. wait till I get a few drinks in me.
Yeah, exactly. Where's my Cosmo?
Yeah. That was good. And then, Anisha. Mm-hmm. I really did like her talk. When she said, like, she's 35 and she pictured herself living on a yacht at this point.
Right. We all envision ourselves a certain way at first. Yeah. And then reality smacks us upside the head. Up in about the mid-30s is about when it happens, too. Yeah, we're like, that's not going to happen.
That's why I just tell myself I'm, like, still about to turn 21. Yeah. So the potential is endless. I really liked it. She's like, I was supposed to be living on a yacht. And then she goes, like, what the F am I doing? I don't know where my life is headed.
I think she's had a big upheaval, though, if you think about it. After leaving a life in New York, you know, being on her own, and now, you know, being in a long-term relationship, too, and now being back at home, single, you know, trying to get this clothing line off the ground. That's a lot of change to deal with. So you're going to have a couple WTF moments in the process, I think.
I'd like them to dive a little more into her old relationship.
I know. I want to know who Vishnu is, why they broke up.
Mm-hmm. You know? Weren't they together even longer than Vishal and Richard?
12 years, yeah.
12 years. She's up longer than most marriages, to be honest.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, I would like to know what this, like, I'm guessing that the breakup is what triggered her return home.
And it could be. And it seems funny, though, because when they went out shopping together, she and Chitra, Chitra still seems to like him to the point where she thinks he should be the father of, you know, her grandchildren. So that's why I want to know what's up. It seems... Yeah. It's so, I don't know, enigmatic. You know, there's nothing solid that I can grasp of what happened there.
Yeah, they don't really dive into it. And she is a little guarded with that. It seems like they crafted the storyline to avoid diving into her personal, her past relationship. But I'd like to know more. It's also funny, too, because she, you know, struggles with... I guess being more Western, being a little bit more progressive, but she did the opposite. You think she would have left her relationship that her parents wanted and moved away to the big city, to New York, to strike out on her own. Instead, she leaves it and moves back to her parents' house. It's like a reverse, like Sex in the City or something.
Exactly. No sex in the city.
Yeah.
That's been the theme pretty much on this whole season, though. Nobody's hooking up, it seems.
Yeah. I was caught off guard. It was really touching when Chitra and Anisha are at the store. Mm-hmm. And then it goes from Anisha thinking she's going to be wishing she was on a yacht. It got really deep with like her, she was going to freeze her eggs and like her plans for parenthood.
Yeah. And right before that too, she had confessed to lying to Ram about her finances. And Chitra was like, why would you lie about that? You know, we love you irrespective of the situation you're in. You know, and then when it went to freezing the eggs, all of a sudden the support went out the window. And she was like, you know, why don't you just do it natural and have fun with it?
Chitra might be my favorite mom on the show.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I'm missing Dharma.
What?
I'm missing Dharma right now. They haven't been featuring Brian's mom as much as they did early on. And I loved her too.
Yeah, I shouldn't play favorites because they're all good in different ways.
Yeah, they're like, all such warm people, really.
Except for Lopa, but that's why I love Lopa.
You need to have some icy fish in there.
Yeah, like Lopa's the devil on my shoulder, and I enjoy her. Chitra's so fun. We'll get to it later, but Amrit's mom is...
Yeah,
really special, really warm,
right?
Reshma, Vishal's mom, is a boss bitch. I mean,
totally.
She's a force to be dealt with. You could argue the way she carries herself, you know, she's like a pillar of their community.
I did like how Chitra, when she realized that she hurt Anisha's feelings, you know, about the whole freezing the eggs thing, jumped right in to apologize and repair that. You can tell that, you know, Anisha may be a daddy's girl, but they are close too.
She's really cool. And that's right, she did they like made up just as fast as they started crying, they made up and brushed
exactly
it. That one was a trip too, because again that scene broke the fourth wall.
One of my favorite things about this show. I love that there's no fourth wall.
Yeah. What triggered the crying, you see a producer, cameraman, whatever, asks Anisha the question, and Anisha and Chitra turn to answer the production guy, and that's when they broke down in tears. Mm-hmm. It was part of the process.
Right. Yeah, no, I really think it's an interesting concept. So many people in the audience, I think, have been watching reality TV for such a long time that having the fourth wall up is annoying and stupid sometimes. Rather see, you know, sometimes you want to see how the sausage is made. You don't want to live on it, but you occasionally want to know, you know.
And I mean, now these shows have been around so long, we have to acknowledge now that they are produced.
Right.
And I think instead of pretending like some housewives, a producer will slip some gossip and they can't acknowledge it and a reunion. Here, it's very open. And I think especially, I mean, what we have, if you're not watching them on TV, you're following them on Twitter, you're reading or their Insta, looking at their Instagram. So the audience is a lot smarter now and more clued into how these shows are made. So there's no point in pretending that this is all candid.
And that's exactly my philosophy too. It's, you know, gone are the days when we think, you know, that there isn't some storyline involved where there's direction by the producers and whatever, you know, somebody's prompting a conversation to happen. And I would just as soon see it personally. Yeah. And I think that that's a good way to combat what you were saying about with everybody being able to see all of this on social media. I think it's a good way to combat that, because I find myself with The Real Housewives especially becoming more disinterested because I know so much before a season even airs.
It's true. I mean, like months before the season airs, I'm already trying to seed Twitter feuds with them and dig up dirt from their publicists, whatever. So, I mean, we go in fully aware. So at least, and also the show that's the worst at that, Beverly Hills, they've acknowledged. I mean, we see on their new episodes, they're breaking the fourth wall. They're completely acknowledging now production conversations. And I mean, that one is probably the most produced, manufactured of the housewives, because they, you know, they live in LA. So they these women came in with experience and agents and lawyers. So now they're at least acknowledging it. Like, these women are actresses. But
but I will take your word for it, because BH is no longer in my viewing universe.
Well, back
to family karma, though.
Another cool mother-daughter moment in here. Bali and Anushka's tattoo.
That was really, it's interesting. Okay, I don't know if you have any tattoos.
No.
I did not get mine. I was probably in my early 30s before I got mine. And I have one daughter who has one and one who has none. But it's something we discuss all the time, getting some bonding family tattoo. Because my husband has, from one arm to the other, you know, he's completely sleeved and across his back. So tattoos are not taboo in our family. But I did think it was clever for her to just take her there and, you know, witness for herself the gun and the experience and see, is this really something that you want to do?
Like, at first it was like, God, Bali's such a cool mom and stuff. And then as it, as the daughter started getting nervous and backing out, I was like, was Bali using reverse psychology? Like,
possibly.
Totally like, here, you want a tattoo? I'm driving you. I'm going to watch you get it here. Like, and the daughter was like, it's too much for me.
Yeah. That's, if she is, if she was using it, she's a genius, because you always, there are always some that you have to think on it for a very long time before you get one, especially if you get one in a visible spot.
Yeah. I wonder if part of the reason her daughter, by her mom and by Bali embracing it, it kind of removes the rebellion element, the rebellious element.
That's a good point too.
It's been like at her age, I mean, part of it is about rebellion. You know, she's like 17, 18. So by having your mom being all into it, kind of like defeats the purpose.
Right. Although Bally is the epitome of a cool mom. So it wouldn't be so much with her.
Yeah, for sure.
With my kids, I don't know that they'd want me to get the exact same tattoo as them.
That's very like Kris Jenner.
Yeah. So, Kristen, that's funny. So we move on. The Rokas finally arrived.
Yes.
And we learn that auspicious means raining. Because for two priests to pick out this date and the fact that the weather completely sucked, I feel bad.
I think Lopa is more powerful than the priest.
Very well could be. But no, it wound up, it already cost $40,000 for the engagement party. I was like, that was, I got married eons ago, but that was exponentially more than what, you know, my wedding cost.
Yeah, so. Dude, that engagement party was nicer than a lot of weddings. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really full was. On, like, they were in formal wear, they're like, elaborate saris, and you know, they were in a formal like wedding attire. It had an open bar, catering. It was at a hotel rooftop. I would have just like tied the knot right there.
Yeah, absolutely. It was gorgeous. It really was. Everybody looked beautiful. All of the outfits were stunning. You know, but when it got to the puja, I was on Team Raj with that, because having been to many Catholic weddings in my life, I understand how you kind of get distracted, because it's generally, they at least only had to stand, you know. At a Catholic wedding, it's stand up, sit down, kneel, kneel, stand, sit, kneel. And so it goes on forever, and so did the puja. It was over, I want to say, like an hour and 20 minutes.
They put a time clock on it. It was over. It was like 85 minutes, so it was almost an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, between that little ceremony and the setting of, and the wedding, of the party, it was, they should just call it a wedding.
Right.
By the way, I have a little secret for that. Getting out of those event, like those extremely long ceremony, wedding ceremonies. The last one I went to that I wanted to get out of, I was told it'd be about an hour and a half. It was like an Eastern Orthodox kind of thing. I showed up when everyone was coming into the church, and, you know, made sure I was seen. And before they closed the door, I pretend I got a phone call and I left.
Oh my gosh, where have you been all my life? I needed you.
And I just like took a break and then went to the reception venue.
Look at you. Clever.
I'm not too schmaltzy or like, I don't like shed tears as the bride's walking down the aisle. Yeah. So I was just like, I'm not. Next time for their wedding puja, I'll DM the cast of family.
Sorry, I've got to go take this.
Did you like Amrit carrying Vishal over the threshold like his bride?
Did you see Vishal's tweet about that?
Yeah, I did.
So he finally gets where the rumors are coming from now. Yeah, that was corny. Like, you wonder why there's, you know, fuel for that fire that people are talking about. You guys are a couple and you carry him over the threshold. Yeah, that was bizarre. I felt bad for Nicholas when he showed up. You know, I guess they had the engagement party, like a pre-engagement party the night before at the Parvani house. And Amrit's mom was introducing Nicholas as Amrit's friend. And he really seemed hurt by it. And, you know, I understood that Amrit's like stuck between a rock and a hard place. These are his parents that he loves. You know, this isn't widely accepted necessarily in their culture, you know, so he understands how they're blocked in. But I really did feel for Nicholas in this one, you know, just because he doesn't have acceptance in his own family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to be welcomed by them, you know, privately in their home and how much they seem to adore him, and then to publicly, you know, kind of keep it under wraps. I can see why he felt a little weird about it.
I wonder with, like, I just thought the mom was being polite with it. Like, sometimes you just say if it's not gay or straight, or it's just you don't know how much pressure the people or exposure the people want in general.
Right.
So sometimes just be like, you know, I if I wasn't sure what to address someone as, I'd probably introduce them as a friend.
Right. And that's a good point, too. And I'm not saying that she was wrong necessarily so much as I just felt for him in the moment.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that must be a really raw nerve for him.
Yeah.
He said his parents are like evangelical.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really tough for them. So I get it. But his mom's, I just can't imagine being mad at Amrit's mom. She's so nice.
Yeah. And I think once she did realize when he talked to her at the Roca, you know, when she did realize how she had hurt him, she like immediately wanted to take it all away.
Yeah.
And just said, maybe I did worry too much about what people think, you know, and I'll moving forward.
Yeah.
I'll act differently, you know.
She gave a really good talk at the end about that. You know, she said, I don't care anymore what the community thinks. Mm-hmm. And his dad was saying, we welcome Nicholas as our third son. It was really, and the mom said, you know, because Nicholas has issues with his own family. And so she told Nicholas, you'll always have like a mother with me.
Right.
It was really sweet.
I thought it was cute too that Suresh said, when he said, we have another son, he said, it's our third ace. You know, we call our sons aces. And he said, full flush. I just cracked up. Poker might not be his game. Bally and O'Malley, they were asking Bally, you know, how O'Malley fit into the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she's not sure how to answer about the culture, but he definitely doesn't fit into the clothing. She was talking about having to get all of his outfits custom ordered, and that they're always calling her back and like questioning her measurement.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really big guy. He looks like an MMA fighter or whatever you call it, UFC, you know.
Yeah, she's kind of wavering a little on moving to Kentucky, and I wanted to ask you, my little production insider guy, do you think it's because of Anushka going to school, or do you think it's because there might be a Family Karma season 2?
Exactly. I was going to say, I think she's holding off to see what Bravo brings her next season. Yeah.
Bravo better bring her something. Yeah. I adore her.
If she did move, she's so good. I think Bravo would, you know how they write people in for filming that don't really live in the city anymore, etc. But I mean, yeah, because I mean, her daughter is moving.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know, that really would be kind of a good time.
Right.
To make that move.
Yeah. I just had an idea. What if they rebooted Real Housewives of Miami and she and O'Malley got married?
Ooh.
And then she could be a Real Housewife of Miami.
That would be sick.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
I'd love it. She could.
Okay, Bravo, make it happen.
Yeah. Start the Twitter campaign.
Exactly.
I'll put a poll up on our Twitter later.
Bring Miami back with Bally.
The highlight, or for me, the peak of the Roca was the end when I didn't expect Vishal and Lopa to make up like that. I think she was a lot drunk.
She was actually smiling and everything. I gave you a little spoiler because I watched it before you, but I didn't want to give away that they hugged. I wanted You to feel like, that in the moment without it being ruined.
I had to pause, rewind, and take screenshots of it. I was like, I want to savor this moment.
Like, did I see that? Right.
That was interesting. I don't know. I thought there would be a lot more. This finale, like you had told me, because you watched it before me, you were like, right. It kind of is a peaceful, wraps things up nicely.
Right. Where and I don't know if that's because it's so new and they didn't know if they'd get picked up again.
Yeah. So it kind of was like a complete storyline. Like right. A complete, because I usually, I'm jaded from so much toxic Bravo, but usually the finales where you don't make peace, it's where things escalate.
Right. So you tune in the next season. Yeah. I was happy with it. I'm exhausted of toxic Bravo. You know that. We've talked about it a bunch. I need this show.
Yeah.
You know, I need it like I need air. I need something light and fun where people can make up and it's not, you know, no argument is the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And I really, really hope they get a season two. But in case they didn't, it seemed like they were trying to wrap things up or give like what does the future hold for you, kind of like the Real Housewives wrap-ups,
yeah,
you know, on finale night. And so they asked what would become of Monica and Brian.
Yeah. And
I thought it was very funny that he said, you know, that, well, you know, if their ships happen to intersect somewhere down the road or whatever, he tried to do some big metaphor. Yeah. And then he said, but if it's going to happen, she's going to have to come to me because I already did that.
This is like, it's back and forth. Before the show, you know, Monica reached out to him or, you know, not the reach out isn't the word, came right. forward to him, I guess. Right. Mm-hmm. And so they're just going back and forth. It's like on Friends, like Rachel and Ross.
Yeah.
I think they're bound. They're like, look at the Roka. They were all dancing together. It was cute.
Yeah.
They.
I think if they don't, they're doing themselves a disservice only because the rumors are always going to be that they're, you know, destined to be together, so whoever they wind up with is going to be second fiddle, you know, in everybody's mind.
And how many options do they have if they stay within their community? The community's already decided, so
right.
It's we'll kind see. Of like they're just waiting to receive the invitation. Like if they go with anyone else, everyone they know will still be comparing them to the others. Maybe something over will happen, assuming there's a second season. I'm hoping for one.
I'm hoping.
Yeah. I think they'll have to develop their storyline a little. Or they could really drag it out, and I think one of them should really start dating someone else.
Yeah. Or I like your other idea, your off-air idea.
Monica?
Yes.
So I think this show could use a little bit more spice.
A little more curry.
Yeah. More curry. It is a little wholesome. Their idea of romance is very like junior high holding hands. Mm-hmm. And I wanted a little bit more dose of like Shaw's or Vanderpump Rules. Yeah. So I'm hoping in the off season, Monica will end up in rehab.
Like a little... It made me laugh so hard.
Could you imagine, like, at the end they do those wrap-ups? I think they're called a Chiron. I don't know the word.
Chiron.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Chiron. And it was like, Monica's, and it's like, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, shortly after production wrap, Monica checked into Promises Mouth.
Oh, I Monica, we're just teasing you. We love that you're wholesome.
She is so innocent, and like it just blow my mind. Oh my god! Or what if they did one? They'd show her leaving the. Oh, keep in mind, this Roka was at a beach hotel in Florida.
Betsy, right?
Similar,
yeah.
Yeah. In Miami, similar to very close to Palm Beach where Luann was. What if they cut to after the Roka and she's like Luann in the back of a cop car screaming she'll murder them?
It's never going to happen. These people are too good.
I can hope.
Yeah, you can hope.
I have a bad influence.
Well, hopefully Bravo hears our pleas and we get a second season and they can bring us some more joy and maybe you'll get somebody who'll go wayward to please you.
They are in Miami.
True.
They need to take advantage of some of those extracurricular substances that they're
right. So we need next season, we need more beach.
Yeah.
We need more compound.
Yes.
A little tiny more debauchery.
You define tiny.
Well, my level of debauchery is way cleaner than anybody else. My tattoo was my rebellious moment.
Yeah, so fingers crossed. I think it will come back, or at least I'm telling myself that. We should take bets.
I'm not an odds maker. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I just be like, I don't know, put it on a Twitter, the Twitter poll.
Yeah. Hey, we could do a poll and see if we can get some feedback on how many people want it back. That would be nice. Yeah. Anything we can do to plug it. Yeah. But I'm sad that it's done. It's been fun recapping it with you.
Yeah, hope you know we'll probably know soon. Well, not super soon because filming
the mandates,
in general
yeah.
is hot, halted.
Right.
But usually when a show does really well, they go right back into production.
Yeah.
Like sometimes if it's a really good season of Vanderpump or even Housewives, sometimes they don't skip a beat. They wrap the season up and like a month later, cameras are back. So we'll probably know soon. I'm sure rumors will start spreading of contracts, you know, if it's been renewed or picked up. So I guess that wraps up the inaugural season of Family Karma. It's been fun. I'm hoping they'll come back and visit our screen soon.
And maybe Bravo will lift the ban on us interviewing.
Yeah. I think part of the reason we also want a season two is so Bravo will stop. For some reason, Bravo's taken a firm stance on us, Kiki and Kibitz, not interviewing Family Karma. We've had other shows on. We've had Pump Rules, Real Housewives of Dallas. We have some people in the works from New York and stuff, but Family Karma is off limits. Maybe season two, they'll warm up to us.
We promise we'll be good.
Yeah.
Sort of. Mostly.
Yeah. So thank you guys for listening. And if you please remember to go on our Apple Podcast page, Kiki and Kibitz, give us a rating, a glowing review, and subscribe. We release multiple episodes every week and we're self-funded. So we do this all for fun to keep you guys entertained. I hope we're doing a good job at that. And if you have any suggestions, you could send us a tweet, Kiki and Kibitz. We're always looking for more ideas for content to keep you happy. So I guess namaste means hello, but I don't know the reverse of that in Hindi. So goodbye. Namaste.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.